The topic for today is Haiti. That's the whole day today. That's every broadcast is going to be on Haiti, as you can see on the homepage. Now, I wanted to tackle this topic a few weeks ago, but admittedly, I needed to decompress and detach myself from this topic for at least a couple of weeks because I was a bit, enraged by the coverage it was getting. I was a bit enraged by the coverage and the blatant lies being propagated not only by the press, but by the Bush administration. And I don't know whose lies pissed me off more in that period of time. I don't know whose lies are offending me more now. Because both continue to lie about Haiti. And I'm getting, frankly, sick of it. So this is going to be me venting today. Releasing a little bit of anger, and the first two segments are going to be more general summations of the goings on in Haiti, and the next two I'll get a little more specific. I'll name some names and point some fingers and tell you who specifically is at the cause of some of these problems. But this first is going to be a primer. It's going to be a primer. Anyways, this week, which will be last week, by the time this segment is uploaded to the server, Aristide came home. Almost came home, that is. He returned to Jamaica, which is about, I think, 200 miles from Haiti, pretty close in the Caribbean there. The small Caribbean island that neighbors the Dominican Republic, for those of you who don't know geography, but most of you who come here are intelligent, so you know that Haiti shares the island with the Dominican Republic, just like Scotland and England do. It's like this. I wanted to take a second to thank Congresswoman Maxine Waters for her efforts in the whole Haiti thing. She was involved. She was involved with Aristide flying back to Jamaica at the behest of the Bush administration. But I wanted to thank her, and of course, I don't know. I don't think she'll hear this, but she should be commended. I don't always agree with Waters. I don't always agree with Maxine Waters, but she is doing good work in regards to Haiti, and she should be commended for that. So Haiti has come back in the news, right? Haiti's come back in the news. And I think it's still very newsworthy. Even while we get terrible news from Spain and terrible chunks of news and updates from Iraq, Haiti is still newsworthy. A lot of people want to forget about it now because Aristide is gone. And they say, case closed. No, it's not. Case is not closed. This is still a news item, which I think makes it completely appropriate for me to be discussing it while it has fallen out of favor with the press. Not getting covered to the degree it was when they were just salivating over the promise of Aristide being thrown out. Illegally, of course. But I wanted to tackle Haiti. But I wanted to talk about it in ways that are more accessible to those of you who have only a passing knowledge of what's happening in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. So I'm going to present this topic today, as I said, as a primer on Haiti's recent history. I'm not going to go back to the 1800s. I'm not going to go back to colonial Haiti. I'm going to talk about recent history. This is going to be a nuts and bolts type topic for today. I'm going to give you as many specific answers as I can to questions that I am going to raise. Questions I think that if people had the correct answers to, they wouldn't be so damn confused about Haiti in the first place. Questions I wanted answers to and which were the impetus for my research on this topic. Now, this first segment is going to deal more with the basic dynamic and the strategy employed to undermine the first independent black republic. I don't like to rest at generalization, so we'll get more specific, I promise, in segment three. Consider this the foundation for more specific information. For you Haiti aficionados out there, I want you to sit tight. You may find some of this a rehash, but it will be at least expressed passionately and honestly, and explain well. So, send any of your friends that are a bit hazy on Haiti to openthreat.net this week. This will be a good jumping-off point for them to begin their own research and to start to question and put into proper perspective the coverage they're going to consume from here on in. And here's hoping that, you know, increased understanding, increased awareness, particularly among Americans, will force the media to do a more honest job in their reporting. And here it is. In Haiti, certain foreign political interests, the segments of them which are in reality business interests and political interests, but sometimes business interests of especially the United States, France, and even the European Union, and Canada, don't want real Haitian independence. They do not want real Haitian democracy. Now, the problem is that they're not going to say that. They're not going to tell you that. They'll deny that. Denial is easy. Easy. But their silence, their denial, won't save them from intelligent scrutiny. Because we have the deeds. We have their deeds, their doings, their habits to look at. And it's categorized, and it's saved in history, the annals of history. And we have them. And some of us can actually connect the dots. Some of us actually know what's going on, and we can read what's been happening. And we know how to put a proper light on it, despite the baloney we're getting in the press. Now, they, and I'll explain who they are a little later, because I don't like to just say they, like a lot of people do. I'll explain who they are. But they want Haiti to remain a ghetto. Okay? Now Haiti's already a ghetto. But the problem is that the ghetto isn't making enough money to satisfy foreign financial interests. That's the problem. It's not the problem that it's a ghetto. The problem is that the ghetto needs to be generating more revenue to outside foreign investors and crooked local ones, too. And to whatever extent they can, they will try and keep Haiti a ghetto. Until it's the kind of ghetto they want. The kind of ghetto they want. Again, I'll get into the specifics in a little bit. But you'd better get a glass of water, all you conditional Bush administration backers, because this is going to be a hard pill to swallow. But if you love your country, if you really love your country, you'll help to improve it by educating yourself and even spreading the word and even talking to people. And you can start right here if you like, and I'd be honored to guide you, put you in the right direction. Those of us who genuinely want democracy in Haiti and know how it can be achieved are justifiably pissed off about certain things that the United States government, in league with France and the European Union, has done to Haiti. The embargoes, the sanctions, the financial backing, as well as military training of dictators. And most recently, the criminal opposition to Aristide. We're not happy about that. Yes, the opposition to Aristide, the rebels, as they have been loftily labeled by the complicit press, are a bunch. They are a scummy assembly of criminal punk thugs that are basically the muscle of criminal punk thug elitists and their criminal interests. Just keeping it real, folks. I mean, wanted you to know where I weigh in on this. That might be harsh, but the truth can be harsh. And in this case, it is harsh. And this is going to be harsh truth today, whether some of you like it or not. I have a feeling that most of you are in agreement with me about Haiti, and people who are inclined to come to OT, but I'm going to continue anyways, at the risk of offending some people. We're also angry about those of us who are in like-minded to me about this situation. We're also angry about the coverage Haiti is getting among mainstream press or the pen devil enablers, as I call them, in the case of Haiti. Because it's only by allowing the corrupt, powerful elite to lie about their motivations in Haiti that a fat, comfortable, and distracted mass of American populace can allow these actions, their actions, to pass. Both their motivations and their actions are unholy. Both are wrong. And both are rooted in self-interest. Self-interest of the privileged elite, that is, and multinational corporations over the dignity of the Haitian people and the future of Haiti, too. Let me take a second here to make another point. I'm going to explain the situation in full before I start attacking press coverage and later the criminal opposition to Aristide. If you know the definition of the word I'm about to share with you, you'll have the answer to the motivations of many of those that oppose Aristide, both American and Haitian opposition. That word is greed. Greed. Greed is the reason Aristide is hated, and I'll explain why. You may not agree with the facts I'm going to share with you in the next half hour to an hour, but you don't have to be a genius to know what greed is or how it can manifest itself in terms of policies like dollar diplomacy or unrighteous military intervention, both of which have been staples of U.S. foreign policy in Haiti. Here is a shocking statement. Get ready, people, for a shocking statement. Greed is still a powerful force in economics, politics, and among the world's power brokers. Greed is the reason. The news coverage sucks. And the reason that America, my home, which I still love despite its errors. You can't say that! I just did. I can criticize the country I live in and still love it. What's that so hard to understand about that? But I'm going to. Anyways, so I just did. Greed is the reason our policies toward Haiti have sucked for a long time. And sucked on a bipartisan level, too. Reagan is to blame. Bush is to blame. Clinton is to blame. W is to blame. They've all helped muck it up, friends. They've all helped muck it up. If you've been living on planet Earth the last few years and have yet to be turned into a brain-dead Fox News fan or right-wing radio drone, then you still, there's hope for you, because you still have the ability to realize what greed is and the types of efforts greed can lead to. And if you can realize that, then you have just taken the first reasonable step toward understanding the Haiti crisis in a nutshell. Which brings me to another point, the understanding of Haiti. Do not believe what you are reading in the New York Times, the Washington Post, or most other large mainstream media newspapers. Don't believe most of it. About what happened in Haiti a few weeks ago, man, before that. And don't believe these people in regards to what is happening today. Do not believe the briefs you're seeing on CNN. Do not believe the MSNBC crawl at the bottom of the screen. It is a bunch of BS. And if you allow me a little bit of slang here, OT don't like no BS. Now, that's a pretty powerful indictment I'm making here. Right? That is accusing the press, particularly American press, but foreign press too, of being complicit, of being an accomplice in the deeds of the Aristide opposition, the same opposition I labeled criminal and rightfully so, and I'll prove it later. But how can OT complain about this? How can OT complain about this? After all, aren't I the one who always attacks the Rush Limbaugh assertion that the media is liberal? Oh. Isn't that me? Doesn't that mean aren't I the one who always complains about the notions of a phony liberal media? Doesn't that mean I think the media is fair? No, of course not. That doesn't exactly follow. Yes, I do attack the liberal media notion, but I never said that the media don't lie or get things wrong from time to time. So the first thing you have to do in analyzing the coverage of Haiti is separate any reasonable doubts you may have about a liberal media agenda. Separate the conclusion that since reporting in this country is, when it's all averaged out, balanced from the presumptuous following conclusion that it's always responsible and honest, that the press is never lazy and never agenda-oriented. Just because I don't think mainstream media coverage is overwhelmingly slanted doesn't mean I think it's honest either. Got that? And Haiti is a shining example of getting it wrong over and over and over and over again. I'll answer why the press is getting Haiti wrong in just a second, but first chew on this. Consider this. For the past few weeks, Rush Limbaugh has been weighing in on Haiti with typically dumb, arrogant comments and lies about Haiti. He even said that we should, I swear, he even said, some of you might have heard this, that we should just, the United States should just buy Haiti and turn it into a resort, which is a vile statement. But I do appreciate his honesty. I do appreciate his honesty. He's honest in his vulgarity. It's a typical illustration of the aims of like-minded conservative business people. How can they profit from Haiti? That is the question. That's what they're wondering. That's what they're salivating about. They're having wet dreams about money opportunities there. Oh, yes, they are. And they'll deny that. That's their only defense. They have to deny, deny, deny their motivations. Because you call them on it, and then they look like the charlatans, the scabs, the people they are. But how can they make money? How can they make... Screw the Haitians. I want my money. Those darkies need to be in an assembly line. Making our products for 50 cents an hour. Now, for those of you in agreement with me that Limbaugh is permanently full of it, ask yourself this. Has Rush Limbaugh, a man who loves to complain about press coverage, has Rush Limbaugh been complaining about the job that the otherwise liberal media has done in regards to Haiti? Well, has he? Has he complained about it? Has he complained about the press coverage in Haiti? Nope. He has not. He's been telling his listeners lies about Haiti in the past few weeks, but I haven't heard him criticize the coverage. Where else would he, where else could he, be getting his information from if not the mainstream press, or worse yet, right-wing media? His silence, his absence of criticism, is telling. It's really, really telling. And that's because he likes the coverage Haiti's getting. He likes the coverage Haiti's been getting, and he's quietly supportive of it. Otherwise, trust me, he would have let you know by now if he had a bone to pick with the coverage. You would have undoubtedly heard Limbaugh chastise the New York Times, had they, for portraying John Bertrand Aristide in a positive, let alone fair light. Had they done that, of course they haven't, so he has no problem with that. Limbaugh has offered little or no complaints about the coverage of Haiti, even as it was front page news in February. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? If Limbaugh doesn't have a bone to pick with the coverage, it's probably because the coverage is bogus. It's the same reason you've never heard Rush complain or cite cases of right-wing bias on the Fox News channel. You know Fox, right? You know Fox News channel, those folks? We purport, then deride. Those guys. Because that's how Rush likes his coverage. Phony. And the fact that Rush hasn't complained about the overwhelming coverage of Haiti, it should sound off an alarm to any clear-thinking American that at least know what a knucklehead Limbaugh is.